Good morning, everyone. We are in Acts chapter 25 today. That means we're in the last four chapters of Acts. It's been a while we've been in Acts, just walking through it chapter by chapter. Let me give you a little exciting news. The exciting news is in the last two chapters of Acts, it gets really good. Yeah, we're going to have shipwrecks. We're going to have castaway situations. We're going to have attacking animals. We're going to get him all the way to Rome, you know, kind of the culmination of what God. You know, those last two chapters of Acts are going to be real exciting. But interestingly enough, the next two chapters, it's going to sound just like what we've heard before. If you've been here with us over the last few weeks, Paul has moved to Jerusalem to kind of give the Jews one more shot at accepting Christ. The Jews have turned against him. And what we saw a few chapters ago was Paul is going in front of different officials, different people, and he's saying, hey, I'm just going to defend what I'm doing. You know, first it's in front of the Sanhedrin, and he's defending what he's doing. Then it's in front of, you know, maybe like the centurion, and he's kind of saying, this is what I was doing. And then he gets last week all the way to this governor's place in Caesarea, which is a beach town, a shipping channel is there. And when he gets there, he does it again. The Jews come into the court. The governor is over there. They bring these lies against Paul, and Paul defends himself, defends the faith. And then we get to this chapter. In this chapter, it's been 2 years since Paul has defended his faith in front of Felix. And in chapter 25, he's still in Caesarea. And in fact, what's going to happen here is a brand new governor is going to come in. Felix is dead. Governor is Festus. I guess they liked hiring people whose name starts with the letter F. So you got Felix and you got Festus. And Festus comes in chapter 25, verse 1. 3 days after arriving in the province, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Now it says up there, because Jerusalem was up on a hill, so not so much north. In fact, I believe Jerusalem's a little bit south of Caesarea. But usually in the Bible, anytime it talks about people going to Jerusalem, you're going up to Jerusalem. So he goes up to Jerusalem where the chief priests, the Jewish leaders, appeared before him and presented the charges against Paul. Here it goes again. They requested Festus as a favor to them to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem. So he's in Caesarea, says, bring Paul back to Jerusalem, for they were preparing to ambush to kill him and along the way. And then in verse number 4, Festus answered, Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going there soon, so let some of your leaders come with me, and if the man had done anything wrong, they can press charges against him there. And after spending 8 or 10 days with them, Festus went down to Caesarea, and the next day he convened the court, ordered Paul to be brought before him. When Paul came in, the Jews had come down from Jerusalem, and they stood around him, and they brought many serious charges against him, but they could not prove any of them. In verse 8, then Paul made his defense. I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish law, or against the temple, or against Caesar. And Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there on these charges? Which is just a really goofy thing to say, right? He's standing trial in Caesarea where he's supposed to be standing trial. But Festus kind of going, okay, how do I make everybody happy here? Hey, Paul, would you be willing to go back to Jerusalem? I think probably Festus knew they would ambush Paul and that would take care of the problem. But Paul, being a Roman citizen, Paul answered, I am now standing before Caesar's court, where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. So as a Roman citizen, if you're in one of these Caesar's courts in the regions, if you feel that something has not been handled right, you can appeal to Caesar. And so Paul takes this time to appeal to the higher court, to appeal to Caesar. After Festus has conferred with his council, he declared, "You have appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar you will go." So once again, this is a repeat, right? I mean, it just happened. If I started reading part of chapter 24 and chapter 25, you know, you might get confused. Which one is it? You know, you've got Jews, you've got Caesar's court, you've got the governor. It's just the same thing playing over. Now, at the end of the chapter, we're going to meet one more character. His name is King Agrippa. King Agrippa. And that's what chapter 26 is going to be. Chapter 26 is going to be Paul in front of King Agrippa, once again, defending what he's doing. King Agrippa is really interesting. Y'all have heard of Herod before, right? It wasn't so much a name like king or prince or governor. Herod was a name as in a dynasty. You know, Herod was a family name. And so you had Herod the Great that did all the building, and you have the different Herods that all around the Jesus story. This character, King Agrippa, is his whole name is Herod Agrippa II. And he was a bad guy, you know, but he is king, which means he's you've got the local guy that's the governor, Festus, then you've got the king of the province around him, and then you've got Caesar above that. And so King Agrippa is kind of, he's over this entire region, and he's kind of coming in, and we're going to kind of be introduced to him next week. But today what I want to just kind of look at is this thought, because as I read this, I was going, boy, how did Paul handle this? How did Paul handle his life basically being on repeat? The same thing just happening over and over and over again. In fact, it reminded me of those movies. Have y'all seen those movies like Groundhog Day, where, you know, you go through the day, you close your eyes, you wake up, and you're in the same day again? I think there was one with Tom Cruise where he was battling aliens, where it was the same thing. You know, he'd get killed, wake up, you know, same day again, same day again, same day again. Do y'all ever get that feeling in your life? Do you ever get that feeling like, wow, this sure does feel like yesterday? And tomorrow, once again, it kind of, you know, I'm kind of doing the same thing. I'm waking up in the morning. I'm facing the same issues. I'm facing the same people saying the same things about me. How do you handle it when God just seems to have your life on a repeat cycle? And, you know, as I looked at how Paul handled this, I think Paul would kind of say, God, really? You know, I know where I think we're supposed to be going. We're supposed to be going to Rome. But you've got me here for 2 years. And it's just the same thing. The Jews are coming against me, I'm defending. Jews are coming against me, I'm defending. So what I want to do today, just really quickly, is just talk about, what do you do when you feel like God's not doing anything in your life? Like, it's just, God, I feel like I'm just living the same thing over and over again. Here's some things I wrote down. I think there's two questions you have to ask yourself. When you feel like your life doesn't have purpose, when you feel like your life isn't moving forward, when you feel like it's just repeating over and over again, two questions. The first question is what is God doing? That's the first question you should ask. What is God doing? And the second question is, what should I do in response to what God is doing? So what is God doing? So in your life right now, you might want to just stop and ask that question. Okay, it feels like I'm not accomplishing much here, but what is God doing? And then once you dig into that, ask that next question. If it's true, that's what God's doing, what should I do in response? Let's handle the first question. What is God doing? Now, both of you would say, well, I don't know what God's doing. You know, if I knew what God was doing, I would respond differently. If I knew, you know, I have that question all the time. People ask me, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, but I just don't know why God's doing that. You ever get to that point? I don't know why God's doing that. Well, first I want to tell you that God always has a specific purpose for why he has you where you're at right now. There he is. Isn't that awesome to know? There's a specific reason that you're in the job that you're in. There's a specific reason that you live in the area where you live right now. There's a specific reason that you go to church and have this family. There's a specific reason that things happen to you, the physical things like that. That God has specific reasons, specific things that he is doing in your life. In fact, I don't know if Paul knew this or not, but Paul is right in the middle of God's plan. Now if I'm Paul, I'm going, Paul, God, you told me 2 years ago you're taking me to Rome. And I'm sitting in Caesarea in a jail for 2 years. I kind of picture Paul, he was kind of under house arrest in the palace, which probably isn't a bad way if you have to be arrested, to be on house arrest. But still, he had no freedom really to come and to go. And this was a beautiful beach town. You know, I could kind of see, like, wouldn't that be horrible not only to be in jail, but to be in jail like in Panama City where you could see the beach out there and go, oh, that'd be nice. But Paul's sitting in here, and he's sitting there for 2 years. But it's right what God wanted him to be. If we look back in the story of Acts, chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, when Paul is on the road to Damascus, and God calls Ananias to come and to help Paul when Paul was blind. And Ananias was going, no, I don't want anything to do with Paul, right? Paul was killing Christians at that time. And in verse 15 of chapter 9, it says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles. Paul was doing that, right? He had been going around preaching to all the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer in my name. And so one of the things God said when he called Paul is he said, I'm going to have Paul talk to the Gentiles. I'm going to have Paul talk to the Israelites. Yeah, he was doing that in Jerusalem. But then there's that middle thing where God said, I'm going to have Paul talk to the kings of the Gentiles. See, God had Agrippa coming. King Agrippa was coming to Caesarea. And God said, you know what? It's in my plan. I've got it all planned out, Paul. I just need you to be here for a couple of years while I get everything moving in that direction. God had a specific plan for Paul at that time. But let me tell you this. So many times, we don't know the specific plan. I don't know if Paul knew that. You know, Paul, obviously he didn't know that in 2 years he was going to meet King Agrippa. But he might not even known why God had him there specifically. But we can always fall back on this idea that God has a general purpose for a life of a Christian. The general purpose is, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God's general purpose for all of us is to share the name of Jesus. To take the name of Jesus, to take the grace and the mercy and the love of God, and share it to the ends of the earth. When God's got you in this repeat cycle in your life where you're just going, I don't know what God wants me to do. Here's what you need to do. You need to say, all right, I might not know specifically, but I know generally that I am supposed to be sharing the name of Jesus. And if you get that, then suddenly your repeat cycle starts having some purpose to it. Why am I at the job? Well, God wants me to share the name of Jesus. Why am I in this neighborhood? God wants me to share the name of Jesus. Why am I at this hospital? God wants me to share the name of Jesus. If we start grabbing that picture of saying, God, what are you doing? And we start thinking, well, in everything, all things work together for those who believe in Christ Jesus, right? Therefore, everything we do, we are part of that general purpose of God to share the name of Jesus. I think Paul had that down. Yeah, every time Paul gets up in front of him, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, do we have that? You know, one of the things that I think we have the worst time with is the waiting. You know, the waiting on God's timing on things. You know, when I read that Paul was there 2 years, it just kind of bothered me. You know, just kind of, oh, God has this plan to get him to Rome, but he said, 2 years you're going to wait here. Because so many times, you know, I'm in that mode where I'm just going, God, get to that other thing quicker. get there quicker. I want it now. I want that next thing now. But there is so much that happens in this waiting period if we have that right thought. You see, God wasn't ready for him to be in Rome. Things weren't precisely done yet. I wrote down that waiting is essential in the life of a believer. Waiting is essential. We don't know what God's preparing. We don't know what King Agrippa is going to come into our lives. We don't know what God is doing behind the scenes, but sometimes we have to wait. Many times we think God is late. You ever think God is late? I think about the sisters, you know, whose brother died, when Lazarus died. And that's the first thing they said when Jesus got there. They said, "If only you had been here, you could have saved my brother." And it's such an interesting concept in their brain because they fully believed he was God. They fully believed he was Jesus. You know, in the way that Jesus responded to him, he said, "Do you know who I am," basically? And she said, "Oh, yeah, I know you're the Messiah." But there was this thing in the waiting that causes us to kind of go, "If God, you know, if you had just been here a little bit sooner, if your timing was my timing." And God says, "No, my timing is different than yours." And in fact, the reason for Lazarus is he just flat out told her, "I waited. I waited because God wanted to show you, you know, this thing." And that it's a great story. Your perspective versus God's perspective is what it's all about. God's thing is he's trying to share the name of Jesus. Our thing sometimes is, "God, I want this to happen right now." And as you put those two things into perspective, you can answer that question, what is God doing? Now, the next thing I want to do is I want to look at that question of what should I be doing, right? What should I be doing right now? Because that's really kind of where the rub comes. You know, I'm living my life, God, and suddenly this happens and I'm in a situation I don't like it, and I'm just sticking there. So while I'm in that situation, what should I do? The first thing I wrote is, remind yourself that God's in control. That should just be the first thing you wake up every morning. I don't like where I am right now. Don't like the job I have. I don't like the situation I am. I don't like the health problems I'm having. I don't like the financial issues I'm having. Whatever it is, wake up in the morning and say, "This is what I know. God is in control." I look at Acts 25, what we just read. There's a couple of verses that's easy to skip over. I read them just a minute ago. In chapter 25, verse 4, the Jewish leaders have come to Festus and said, "Hey, get Paul here to Jerusalem and have a trial here." And you know, their plan was to ambush Paul and kill him. But it says in verse 4, Festus answered, "Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going there soon. Let some of your leaders come with me, and if this man has done anything wrong, they can press charges against him there." Now, I know there's probably legal reasons why Festus did that, but also, I don't know. I mean, it would have been real easy for Festus just to have said, "Go get Paul. Hey, guys, let me send two of my guys back to Caesarea. They'll bring Paul. We'll have this trial now." But he didn't. Just almost in a way where you just kind of go, it would have been easier that way. It would have been simpler. He would have got rid of the Paul issue. That there would have been an ambush on the way, so he could have told the Roman emperor when they find, "Why did this Roman citizen die?" Well, he got ambushed and he died. It would have fixed everything. But for some random reason that the Bible doesn't tell us why, Festus says, "No, you come with me back to Caesarea." Now look at that. God is sovereignly protecting Paul. God is sovereignly, you know, through Festus, not even probably realizing what he's saying or doing, Paul is being protected here in Caesarea from this ambush. How many times does God sovereignly protect you? You ever just thought about that? "God, I'm so tired of whatever it is." And God's going, "Oh, if you only knew. how I'm protecting you right now. If you only knew what would happen if I gave you what you're asking for right now. If you only knew the implications and how I am behind the scenes protecting you, your family, I'm protecting your job, I'm protecting other people. The protection of God that's sovereign that we never even see. So I would say this, when you ask, what should I do in this time of waiting? Just start with that first thing and just kind of go, the first thing I'm going to do every morning is just say, God, I know you're in control. And there are things happening I don't even realize are happening. And thank God for that. Give him gratitude for that. The next thing that I want to say you could do is, number two, is to look for places where God wants you to stand up. Now, it was easy for Paul, right? Paul's in prison, and same thing over and over again, and all of a sudden he gets the call, knock, knock, knock. You've got to go and appear in front of Festus again. Paul says, okay, I'm ready. And he goes in there, and he stands up in front of Festus. Let me ask you this. Are you ready every day to stand up when God asks you to stand up? I think that's the key. You know, are you, when you get up in the morning, going, you know, if God asked me to stand up today, if God asked me to do something for him today, I'm not going to forget that while I'm working and waiting, that there may be opportunities for me to stand up. Do you have opportunities that God gives you to stand up? You know, it might be people in your life. It might be particular things that people ask you to do where you just got to go, wait a minute, here is my place to stand up. I'm going to stand up and say, this is what, as a Christian, how I live my life. Now, why would you do that? Because what's God's purpose? God's purpose is to share the name of Jesus with your Jerusalem, your Samaria, and your ends of the world. When you stand up for God in wherever you're at, you are opening the door to share the name of Jesus with those people around you. But so often we don't stand up. We start on our day and we go and we go and we go, and that little opportunity just shows up for a second, and we kind of go, oh, if I say anything right now, they'll do this, they'll do that, this will happen. I'm just going to sit down and I'm just going to be quiet. And then we just kind of keep going, God, why am I here? But God said, I'm giving you opportunities to stand up. Do you take the opportunities to stand up? I love the book, Share Jesus Without Fear. If you've ever read Share Jesus Without Fear, the author of that book just makes a real simple thing on how to share your faith. And I just think it's just the greatest thing. He says, here's what you do, is you just see where the Holy Spirit opens the door. And when he opens the door, you just take one step in and see if the Holy Spirit's doing something. And I said, well, you know, how neat is that? And so, you know, in the book, you know, it said, do something like this. Just in your day as you're talking, if someone comes up and says, what did you do this weekend? Now, you've got choices, right? You could say, oh, we went to the baseball game. Oh, I went to see that new Black Widow movie. That was really good. I did go see that, by the way, if anybody wants to talk about that later. Or, you know, you could say, I did yard work. I did, you know, whatever. But what's a way that you could simply stand up when someone says, how was your weekend? It was great. I went to church. Right? Now, when you do that, you've stood up. You've opened a door. You've said, I'm a Christian. On Sundays, I go to church. I was at this church Sunday. I heard something from God. All that's all encompassed in that one little phrase, I went to church. Now, it's up to the Holy Spirit what happens next. Maybe that person goes, oh, well, that's great. Let me tell you what I did. And the conversation never turns anywhere else. But you stood up. You said, I'm going to give the Holy Spirit a chance. But you know what happens so many times is when you say, oh, I went to church, that person's going to say, well, I didn't know you went to church. Uh-oh, door opens just a little bit farther. Right? You took the stand up, And now suddenly the door opens and you go, well, let me tell you something that I heard in church this Sunday, right? Let me tell you about something coming up. And, you know, suddenly you've got this open door. I think about Jesus. You know, Jesus, he wasn't fearful. He wasn't scared to share about God. But one day he just walks up to a well where there's a woman there, right? And he doesn't say, you need to get saved. He just says, I need some water. And all of a sudden, the lady says something back to him. And she just says, well, you know, why should I give you some water? You know, it's kind of the conversation. And he throws out this word. He said, well, you know, if you would, if you knew who I was, you would know I would, could give you living water. Now, at this time, the lady could have said, this guy's insane. He's talking about living water. She could have gave him some water and walked away. But instead, she takes it farther, right? Well, you know, I would love to hear about this living water because I've got to come to this well every day. And all of a sudden, they have this beautiful exchange that leads to her going out and telling everybody about this man she met at the well. But did you see how Jesus just progressed through it? It was just a normal conversation. Hey, could you get me some water? But every time that door opened a little bit farther, Jesus just went a little bit farther with it. How many times in your day does God open the door just a little bit and he says, are you going to stand up? And so start thinking about it. Think about different ways that during the day you could just say, I'm going to be attentive to when the Holy Spirit asks me to stand up. So number one, remind yourself that God's in control. He's working behind the scenes. Therefore, he'll probably bring somebody into your life. There'll probably be that little open door where you have that moment to stand up. And number three, when you're in that loop where you just kind of go, I don't know what God's doing, when you get the opportunity to stand up, I took it just a little bit farther. I said, you need to be sure that you speak the truth. Speak the truth. Paul did. You know, Paul said, he said, look, if I'm guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges are brought against me by these Jews are not true, so no one has the right to hand me over to them. He wasn't scared about saying the truth. He just said, when I'm standing up here, I'm going to say the truth. And if you rule that I deserve to die, I'm fine with dying. I'm not fearful of saying the truth. Do we ever get fearful of saying the truth? Do you ever get in that situation where it's awkward? And you kind of go, I really should speak some truth at this point. And this thought goes off in your mind, no, don't say that. They might react wrong. This might take us to an uncomfortable, awkward situation. We are always in that battle of going, can I speak the truth to this person? And then we kind of pull back or speak the truth into a situation. You know, whatever it is, speak the truth. I want to go into this much deeper at some other time. In fact, we need to do just a whole sermon series on this thought, because I love the way the Gospels present Jesus. The way they present Jesus is Jesus spoke the truth in love. And that's what we have to learn. We don't have to learn how to speak the truth in a untruthful way or in a way to make everybody happy. What we need to do is to learn how Jesus did it, which is to speak the truth in love. You know, I just wrote down here that when we speak the truth in love, we're not seeking selfish things. We're not seeking to get other people's flattery. We're saying, I love God, I love you, and therefore I'm going to present this truth as truth, but I'm going to present it in a loving way. If you look at Jesus, one time Jesus was eating with a bunch of sinners and the Pharisees showed up and the Pharisees said, you know, hey, you're eating with sinners in there. And Jesus in the middle of them just stood up and said, I didn't come for the people who are well. I came for sick people. You know, that's why I'm here. And you just kind of think about it for a second. He's in the house with these people and he's standing up and going, I'm here for these sick people as he looks around. But there was something about Jesus and the way that he loved people, that he could stand up and say, all you guys here with me are sick, but I love you so much, and that's why I came. And they were able to hear it, because Jesus didn't have that part within him that was selfish when he spoke the truth. They didn't go, it wasn't there. There was something in Jesus that he was able to speak truth in love, and it came across that way. And so I don't want to tell y'all today, you know, hey, in your day today when that door opens and there's a time to speak that truth. I mean, yeah, be careful how you speak truth to people. But if you can come back and say, I'm going to speak the truth in love to this person, you're going to be amazed once again how much farther that door opens and that door opens and that door opens. And finally, not only should you remind yourself that God's in control, look for places to stand up, speak the truth, but always be ready to appeal to a higher power. Now this isn't, you know, biblically what Paul did here. I mean, of course, Paul was appealing to Caesar. But I think so many times in our lives, we get in this lone ranger mode, and we're facing our issues in life alone. And always remember that when it gets really tough, when you don't know what's going on, when you're in that struggling time, appeal to a higher power. You maybe appeal to a group that God has brought into your life, a Bible study group. There is wisdom in numbers. Maybe it's to a pastor or a mentor in your life, and you're saying, man, I'm really struggling here. And instead of getting to the point where your struggle separates you more and more from God, say, you know what, God, I just want to appeal and go and talk to someone that I believe has a lot of truth and a lot of wisdom. A pastor, a Sunday school teacher, someone that has that a little bit farther in their faith than you. But I mean, finally, you need to be talking to God, right? You know, this understanding that God says that you as a Christian can boldly come into the throne room. You can boldly come to God. Now God might not just tell you everything. You know, this is what's going to happen next. This is where this is going. This is what's happening. But every day when you're in that struggling sense, you know, just say, hey, God, I'm struggling. I'm going to boldly come in today. You know, in fact, it's one of those things where we look at, what our church is doing as we're talking about prayer. Tonight, we're going to have our prayer time, overflow. It's a time of worship music. It's a time of us reading scriptures. And it's a time of us just voicing some prayers out loud. But here's the thought, is we're appealing to a higher power. We're going, God, what's our church supposed to do? Let's appeal to a higher power. We're individually, a lot of the prayers we'll say tonight are individual prayers. And we're just basically saying, God, I don't know what to do, but I want to appeal to a higher power. And when we do that, it doesn't shorten the time, but it sure does help us to grab that picture that God loves us and God's moving us forward. In verse number 19, Festus is meeting with King Agrippa. And like I said, we'll cover the King Agrippa next week, so I'll hold off on reading all of it. But I love in 19, Festus is in front of Agrippa. He's just met with Paul. He's trying to get, what should I do? He's asked to go to see Caesar, and, you know, it's, I got to send him to Caesar because he did. And in verse 19, he said, he's talking about what Paul says. Well, let's start with 18. He says, when the accusers got up to speak, they did not charge him with any of the crimes I expected. Instead, they had some points of dispute about him, about their own religion, and about a dead man named Jesus, who Paul claims was alive. Isn't that beautiful? In Paul's repeating day, where it just seems like the same thing's going on and on again, I don't know if Festus ever had a relationship with Jesus Christ, but he sure did hear about him. I mean, as he's sitting there talking to Agrippa, he said, let me tell you about a man who died that Paul claims came back to life. Isn't that beautiful? As we live our life this way, I can't promise you that people are going to get saved, but I am going to promise you this. This idea that God says your purpose is to send his name out, that's going to happen over and over and over again. Guys, God loves you. God's got a plan for you. What I want y'all to do this week is just wake up in the morning and say, God, you're in control. God, I'm going to be looking for places today to stand up for you. I'm not going to be afraid to tell the truth. And I'm going to continue to just appeal to a higher power. And you're going to be amazed that in these times of waiting that you thought were purposeless, suddenly you're going to see this growing plant where God has just put a seed here and a seed there and a seed there from where you have stood up and shared the gospel. Guys, I'm excited about what's happening in our church. We've got so many opportunities that as we stand up together for God to do just some incredible things. I think we've been in a waiting time too. I think God just said, hey, we're going to wait as a church. Here's a really cool thing. Monday, the reconstruction people are coming. And we're going to get the entire church back up and going. It's about a 4 to 6 week period where the fellowship hall, the kitchen, the offices, the hallways are going to be redone. And there's going to be so many nice things. And I'm just going, God, what were you planning? Yeah, are you planning that as our church gets all these nice looking things and these rebuilt things, there's going to be some people coming? Are we going to be ready to stand up and speak truth in love and see God do some amazing things as we were patient and waiting on God? I'm glad that you guys are here. Hey, we're going to enter into a time of invitation now. Maybe God has laid something on your heart that you've kind of been struggling with. And maybe just during this time of invitation, you need to just call out to God and say, God, I know whatever's happening in my life, your purpose is to share the name of Christ through my situation. Maybe you can think about ways this week that you can work on that. Maybe during this time of invitation, you've been thinking about joining our church. Maybe today you want to say, hey, I want to be a part of a church that's standing up and sharing Christ and sharing his love with the community. It'd be a great time to come down today. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're sitting here today and going, Blake, my life really is purposeless because I don't have that promise that everything is going to be working together. And today I want to make a change in my life. And I want to give my life purpose. And I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, make me part of the family of God. I'd love to talk to you about that. So during this invitation, I want to open it up for you to come down. We can talk about asking Jesus into your heart. Whatever God and the Holy Spirit is leaning on you right now, we're going to have this time of singing and response. Thank you.